If you search books on leadership in Google, you get about 797 million results in less than a second. The same search in Amazon gives you about 50,000 choices to pick from. Quite a few of these are written by generals and admirals, diplomats, billionaires, and CEOs. Another good portion of them are written by self-help gurus, clergymen, and motivational experts. The rest are made up by people like me, someone who spent years working in the middle gap between entry level and executive level and had to create, motivate, build, and develop a team to make mortgage payments, keep food on the table, the lights on for one wife, two daughters, and a varying amount of cats. Not only did I need to make sure my team's performance paid my bills, I also needed to make sure my team's bills were paid as well. Beyond that, there was always the inevitable upstream management changes. There were swings in the economy. There were lean management structures that were put into place and compensation controls that were brought down for us to figure out. Every month, me and my team continued to bet on ourselves, knowing that as each month ended and a new one began, we'd go from heroes to zeros. It was this chaotic and nearly unpredictable environment that I developed my very own ununique and unoriginal management style. As I've often told my teams, the biggest sin you can commit is having an original idea. Find what works no matter where it comes from and use it. Don't worry about it not being yours. Make it yours. Humans learn and develop two ways: imitation and intimidation. The first is simply copying what you see that works, and the second is doing what you have to do to avoid negative consequences. Unfortunately, I was like many first-time leaders, and I leaned on the second instead of seeking out the first. I created rules and consequences. I made panic decisions to solve short-term crisis. What I wasn't doing was finding long-term fixes and working on improving my team. I swung between trying to be feared and trying to be liked. I thought if I held my people accountable, they'd perform better. Or on the other side, if they liked me enough, they would put in the efforts needed for us to reach our goals. What took me years to understand is what this episode and these series of episodes are going to be about. The key isn't about being feared or being liked. It's about being trusted. After years of reading several hundreds of those thousands of books that are out there and watching hours of videos and listening to days worth of recordings and sitting in during live presentations, I found that the truly great leaders all had one thing in common. They were trusted by their people, and their people trusted each other. This means their teams didn't fear them, and at times it also meant their teams didn't maybe like them so much. But what their teams did do was produce, and often went on to become successful leaders themselves. In my personal history, the leaders I've learned the most from were often the people I didn't necessarily care very much for. We didn't have much in common. They could be abrasive, blunt, and sometimes rude, but I knew I could trust them. So if you are like I was and you're looking to develop yourself into a leader with proven methods that don't rely on mental attitudes or motivational tricks and want to see the people you recruit, you train, develop, and retain go on to become leaders themselves, this episode's for you.
Thank you for joining us once again, here on the CAP Knowledge Network podcast. Your best source for leadership development, culture building techniques, and proven sales tactics. In this series of podcasts, Troy Graham will share his failures, successes, and lessons learned on what it takes to become a trusted leader. He will also show you the steps and tactics that are needed to build and develop trusting teams inside your department or organization. Today's episode is on step zero. Self-evaluation and self-awareness.
perhaps you're not a business leader, but maybe you're in a nonprofit or in education, or maybe you're an elected official holding office at the federal, state, or local government level. These same skills can be applied to your position of leadership equally as well as they can help a middle manager or a senior director. And if you think about it, in those public and nonprofit positions, understanding the concept of leadership through trust is likely even more important for you. Now, we will not be going over visualization or motivational techniques. We'll not be talking about empowerment or culture building. No open space plans or team building exercises here. What we will be focusing on is you. Now, like everything, this comes in steps. And like everything, there's usually a step before the step. So step zero is unique in that it starts with a couple of assumptions. The first assumption we need to address is, are you talented enough to be in the position you currently hold? Tough question to ask yourself. And if you're being honest with yourself and you're not, how can you begin to develop yourself? Don't worry about this first assumption. History is full of unprepared leaders, untrained directors, people thrown into positions they weren't prepared for, who all had a steep learning curve, but all found tremendous success. The first best investment of our time is to make ourselves and our teams better. Professional athletes don't practice during the game. They have coaches and trainers and run scrimmages. They shoot endless free throws, run lines, or take countless shots from the top of the slot. Professional actors don't wing it on stage. They rehearse countless hours and attend classes and workshops to hone their craft. Even the actors known for ad-libbing will rely on a lifetime experience of rehearsal and directed performances. A comedian would never write up a 10-minute set and perform it for the very first time on a live network. The point is, they practice before they perform, not while they're performing. So once you've made the decision to invest in your skills, do you have a coach? Do you have a trainer? Do you have someone who can give you the right direction, identify your flaws, and help you improve? The second assumption is, we need to make sure we aren't confusing longevity with talent. The fact you've been at your company or in your industry for 20 years doesn't automatically mean you've been doing it right for 20 years. This entire process has a step zero, and the whole point of step zero is starting with you. So what are your core competencies? What do you do really, really well? If you were dropped out of an airplane into a city you've never been before, could you use those skills to survive and thrive? Do other people consider you a subject matter expert in your field? If this doesn't accurately describe you, now is the time to start working and studying on becoming a leader. If you ask most people in the early part of their leadership career how many books they've read or seminars they attended or time they devoted to being better at being a leader, you'll find most will answer they spent very little, if any, time studying the subject. Ask those same people what leadership training they were given by their boss or company, and you'll likely hear all of them say, next to zero. The third assumption, can you handle criticism? This, more than anything, will let you know if you're as talented as you need to be. If you have the confidence of developed skills and honed abilities, your internal state is no longer dependent on what others say. This confidence allows you to take the criticism as the gift of feedback instead of feeling you need to defend your actions, your decisions, or your behavior. The most confident thing a person can do is admit they have a failing or they were wrong. Those who deflect and defend are the people who don't have a heavy undercarriage designed and developed to go over the rough roads of accountability and examination. The weakest and most ineffective leaders I have ever known couldn't admit to a mistake or take the blame for poor results. They always blamed external influences or created conspiracies or simply denied the results. The most effective leaders I have ever met took each failing or mischance and learned from it, and consequently improved themselves by what they learned. Leadership is not about perfection. We will all make mistakes. It's about persistence and learning from your mistakes. The fourth and most critical assumption: do you truly, completely, and without reservation want those around you to succeed? If this is to work, you must never see those around you as a means to an end or a set of tools to accomplish your goal. If you only see the people around you as there to serve you or to help you get your goals, you'll never achieve your full potential as a leader. If you see the citizens in your district as being only important on election day, they'll figure that out once you're an incumbent. If you see your sales staff as horses that pull your wagon, they'll figure it out, and they'll either leave or work just hard enough not to be fired. If you see your staff as rungs on the ladder in your organization, you'll soon find them backing your rival. The key is that you need to look at every person you have on the team and figure out how you can take them at least one step further in their career. The true success of any organization is shown when it bleeds up and not bleeds out. When your people are being promoted, you are bleeding up. Now, this also applies when they're being recruited away for bigger and better jobs. Strangely enough, many organizations point to this as the reason why they resist developing their people. The best leaders don't gauge their success based on money or quotas or year in numbers or fame or tenure in office. They base their success on how many people's lives were improved because they spent time together. At the end of our lives, the only legacy anyone really has, it's not money or fame or plaques or buildings with their name on it. It's determined by the impact that is left on the people we leave behind and what they are capable of passing on. These four assumptions are the cornerstones of what we'll be walking through from time to time on this podcast. So, if you're looking for advice on taking control of a special forces team, or running a multi-million dollar corporation, or starting a disruptive business in your garage, or becoming the best version of yourself, this likely isn't the podcast for you. But if you have a team of 10 to 25 people that you are looking to get the most out of and see them succeed and move up, or you're now in a position to make decisions and actions for the first time that affect communities and the businesses and organizations you're part of, and you want to give the best you can, then what we'll be going over is exactly what you need. So let me know, did you like it? Did you hate it? Are you somewhere in the middle? Let me know what you think. I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll see you next time. Remember, like, follow, share, subscribe. The more people are involved with this, the better it gets. Thank you again, and have a fantastic day.